Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your Wiretaps podcast for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. Alex, how are you holding up?
We're surviving here, Graham. Yeah.
It's been a little crazy. As some of our listeners know, I'm actually based in Paris, France, and so we're kind of on complete lockdown. So I'm going to apologize in advance if on this episode you get to hear little bits of my kids running around in the background because schools are closed. My wife's working from home too, so everyone's at home. We're kind of waiting this out. Alex, I guess you guys aren't in kind of lockdown yet, but you guys are taking some precautions, I presume, in Cornwall, England, even though it's pretty remote where you are.
Yeah. No, we're not in lockdown. My wife's just taking the kids out to the beach. They're closing the schools on at the end of this week, but we decided to pull the kids out of school once they made that decision. I mean, what's the point in going to school for two more days if you know, that just increases the risk of catching this virus. So, yeah, things are it's just very, very different right now, Graham, but we are lucky to be very remote.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say to our listeners is just that, you know, we're going to keep doing this podcast as long as we are able, and we're going to try to, you know, keep it to the usual stuff, because I know that I, for one, appreciate, you know, distraction and getting to stay on top of all things MBA admissions, despite, you know, everything else that's going on. But we definitely feel for everyone who's, you know, working from home or can't travel or is juggling, you know, homeschooling their kids now alongside work and everything. So we feel for you and hope that this podcast helps you get through. So Alex, what are some of the big updates? I know last week there were a bunch of schools delivering decisions, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of activity on Livewire for sure. Last week, Graham, as you're well aware, Darden Ross, Chicago, Fuqua, McDonough, among the schools releasing decisions last week. So lots and lots of activity. And then this upcoming week, the rest of this week, we should see a lot of activity from you know, the likes of Yale, Kellogg, Wharton, Haas, Anderson, Macomb. So this is a big sort of time right now on our site in terms of the community, people getting results, the excitements, the anxiety even now, given the context of everything that's going on. But it's certainly very interesting times.
Yeah. And I think most people listening know this, but one thing that's nice about the site is that you can, you know, share the news that you receive, and maybe some of you are clamoring for, you know, a little bit of interaction with others. So you can share your results, you can engage in dialogue. And I know with the absence of many admitted students events, people are going to, you know, be using DecisionWire to share results and have some of those conversations that, you know, might usually take place at a welcome weekend, where you're kind of, you know, kicking the tires on a school or asking those hard questions. And so we're hopeful that DecisionWire can serve as a good substitute for some of those conversations. Speaking of, you know, the coronavirus and everything that's going on, it's still an evolving situation, but we did want to give you a quick update. Almost all of the kind of admitted students events that schools were supposed to be hosting in April seem like they're getting canceled one after another. There's still a few schools that haven't made any announcements, but it seems like every day a school was kind of announcing a cancellation there. Most schools don't offer campus tours anymore. Almost all the business schools that we deal with have all their classes moved online. And, you know, just keep in touch with the schools that you're applying to if you have questions, because it is an evolving situation. I did get an email yesterday evening from Chad Losey over at HBS, who informed me that HBS is actually extending their 2+2 deadline. So that's for the kind of younger crowd. It's a deferred admissions program, for those of you who don't know. And typically the deadline is April the 2nd. They've moved that all the way out to June the 1st, recognizing that, you know, college kids are struggling with completing their semesters in many cases remotely. So that's been pushed back. Columbia Business School extended their rolling admissions all the way to June 1st. And Ross at Michigan has extended their round 3 deadline to May the 29th, all this, you know, relating to COVID-19. So that's the news there. Let's get into some other non-coronavirus subject areas. So Alex, I guess the big news last week was the release of the U.S. News and World Report MBA rankings. So what did you make of those rankings?
Yeah, always big excitement when when those rankings come out, and kudos to Wharton and Stanford for tying at the top. I think the big news there, quite frankly, Graham, was Harvard coming in at number six. Now, whether that means that they dropped significantly or it was just very slim margins that pushed them from a, I think, were they tied third last time? That pushed them to sixth. But nevertheless, that is news. That's newsworthy because we know through our analysis of decision wire data and just our experience with the industry that Harvard is, you know, it's one of the very, very top, you know, one, two. It's, you know, Harvard and Stanford, and then Wharton gets a squeak up there too. But so for a ranking to suggest that Harvard is the sixth best, I think is a little bit, you know, misinformation, as it were. But what are your thoughts, Graham?
Well, I mean, again, if you look at the methodology, and like you were saying, you know, they were tied at third last year, which, you know, no one really batted an eye, as long, you know, you have like Harvard and Stanford and Wharton in the top three in some order, people usually can kind of be accepting of that. And that's been the case with US News forever. I mean, as long as I can remember, those three schools have been kind of at the top. So it is strange to see them fall to six, but obviously what happened was, you know, that Kellogg kind of leapfrogged and MIT and Chicago inched up a bit. And so there was kind of this interesting scenario where I guess there was enough of a difference in terms of the methodology and the score that each school received that they kind of had a little bit more separation than last year. But yeah, I think it is big news. I mean, people, you don't see HBS at number six in kind of any ranking. So it's definitely a little head scratching. It's hard to discern. They don't give us the full details, but it seems like maybe GMAT score averages and some of the employment statistics were just a hair behind some of these schools that passed them. So it is what it is. I think, you know, any other things though that you wanted to point out from the ranking? Because there are a couple other little things, although I was, for one, you know, the same 25 schools were in the top 25. So that means there wasn't a ton of movement, but
yeah, and the same top 16, what I would consider the top 16 US schools were or are the top 16 in US News. And that seems pretty consistent year on year. I mean, you know, my mind, US News is the default ranking for US business schools in the marketplace. I just think that drop to six is a little bit surprising for Harvard, because if you're admitted to Harvard, Graham, nobody selects another school over Harvard. Is that right, Graham? Or do you know what people that do?
Oh, well, I think, I mean, there's a small population, I guess, that, you know, will pick.
I'm joking with the audience because you did make that choice yourself personally, right, Graham?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, people, I mean, yes, but people go to, you know, people go to Stanford in some number. But yeah, no, typically it's like, yeah, you get into Harvard, you go to Harvard. That's really common. Yes, you're referring to the fact that I had a brain cramp. Yeah, I ended up going to Wharton instead of HBS, but yeah, everyone has their reasons. So yeah, it is a strange thing to see. I mean, we see in Decision Wire, yeah, that the only time we see HBS losing a head-to-head matchup might be against Stanford, and that's not even consistent, right? So yeah, it's tricky. What do you make of like what's going on with respect to Kellogg? I mean, you know, some people were saying as recently as like a couple years ago that Kellogg was kind of, you know, moving down a little bit in the rankings and, you know, back end of the M7 after having been like ranked number one in Business Week for several years. So what do you make of what they've done? Because they've been kind of moving up of late, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've got a fantastic new facility, if we can still call it a new facility. But, you know, at the end of the day, that may well have some impact. But I'm a big believer that you can, you know, Kellogg, Sloan, Columbia, Booth, that any candidate, any one of those four can be better than the other three, right? It just depends on your personal and professional goals, but they're completely comparable in terms of overall quality in networks, as far as I'm concerned. So if Kellogg's placed third, fantastic. If they're placed seventh, fantastic. But to me, it doesn't make a lot of difference.
Yeah, a couple other small things. I mean, it was interesting to see Stern bounce back into the top 10, right behind Columbia almost. I mean, so that's kind of interesting to see those schools so close. Stern had been, as some of our listeners may recall, back in the 2017 US News rankings, they were at number 20 because they failed to report some piece of data, and they claim they weren't alerted to that by U.S. News, and so U.S. News just substituted in a kind of a guesstimate, which resulted in them tumbling down to number 20. It was a whole scandal. So they're back in business, as we could say. It was also interesting to see Duke and Michigan fall from tied for 10th to tied for 12th. It's like the two cannot get untied with one another. And we know from our own website and data that we gather that for one reason or another, they're like the two schools that have like a ton of overlap in terms of applicant pool. And they go head to head a lot, and it's a sort of a draw. And so anyway, just interesting to see those two tied. And I guess the last thing for me was just Vanderbilt jumping into the top 25. That is the one new entrant, although because of some ties and things, we still have the other 25 schools from last year in the top 25. So, but yeah, Vanderbilt kind of moving up, which I think, you know, heard a lot of good things about that program. Really, it's a good healthcare location too, in terms of what goes on in that market. So I think they're, you know, it's a good MBA program and they're moving up a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I think they've done well. And like you say, for the most part, U.S. News does do a terrific job, I think, of reflecting the marketplace. But certainly the big news was Harvard dropping a few places.
Yeah, big time. So, and I think, you know, for as far as rankings go, as you said, U.S. News, decent for the U.S. I think most of our listeners really like the FT when it comes to kind of global rankings and rankings that include the international business schools. So those two are definitely out in front. I wanted to mention before we get into our usual breakdowns, we got a handful of ApplyWire candidates that we're going to look at today. But before we do that, I just want to remind everyone that this podcast is brought to you by the evening and weekend program at the Kellogg School of Management. We really appreciate their support. You know, you can reach your highest career goals while earning an MBA part-time. And the evening and weekend MBA program at Kellogg is located at their downtown Chicago campus, and it offers flexible study options to fit your lifestyle and match your experience. By graduation, you share the same toolkit, skills, and network as the school's most prominent alumni. So visit kellogg.northwestern.edu/EW to learn more. So Alex, you've picked out three ApplyWire entries this week. And I guess this is like the last hurrah before we get into a whole ton of DecisionWire entries, I'm assuming, as you know, as people start to get news. But we had a lot of prospects on the site, you know, over the last week or so asking what their chances were, right? So without further ado, should we dive on in and start looking at them?
Yeah, let's get going.
All right. So Wiretap's candidate number one. So this person is looking at Columbia, Cornell, MIT, Kellogg, Stanford, Chicago Booth, Wharton, Darden, and Yale. And they've been working in quantitative finance, and they looks like the intake year they listed is 2022, so they have some time. They've been working thus far, are hoping to get into investment banking following their current career in quantitative finance. The companies they're targeting are Bank of America, Citibank, Credit Suisse, Goldman, JP Morgan, Merrill, Morgan Stanley, et cetera. I mean, this is like the usual suspects for anyone wanting to get into banking. GMAT score 750, GPA is 3.55, and they have 3 years of work experience to date. Located on the East Coast, but would like to end up in Chicago or the East Coast after business school, with a slight preference for a New York City landing place. They attended a state school for engineering at the undergrad level. They mentioned, think kind of Big Ten, so Penn State, Ohio State. Rotational program, they've done a rotational program at a, quote, too big to fail institution. And Alex, you had some dialogue with this candidate, but what do you make of their background? They did mention they've done like CFA level one. They're Hispanic, thinking about applying through the consortium. So there's a lot of background here. What was the dialogue you had with them, and what do you make of their candidacy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you look at the numbers. This is a smart person, and you know they did well in their undergrad or 3.55, but in that 750 GMAT is fantastic. And you know their undergrad was engineering, so obviously that's quite rigorous. So all that side is very good. they have this ambition to go into investment banking. For whatever reasons, they weren't able to do that directly out of undergrad. They said it was to do with the fact that they hadn't started looking at investment banking in time to sort of get on the ladder, to get recruited for it, which I guess makes sense. Sounds like they've done quite well in the roles that they've had to date. And, you know, there's sort of questions sort of more along the lines of when should I apply and do I need to potentially switch or change my role now before applying to try to boost my or they boost their profile or something like that. So they had questions in that regard. But, you know, quite frankly, Graham, I mean, this is, you know, an underrepresented minority, I believe. So, you know, they're planning or considering applying through the consortium. They're from Hispanic origin. So I think overall, this person has some really good, strong upside, potentially in the admissions process. And, you know, the advice that I would give them is, and so, you know, it was like, should I apply next year or should I wait additional year? Do I need to get another role? So all these different sort of dynamics at play. And my answer is, you know, they might as well apply next season with what they have. Hopefully, you know, they can show that they've progressed well at work, good progression and so on and so forth. They've done some community stuff too. And if they aren't successful, they can come back as a reapplicant in a stronger fashion. So that sort of was my quick feedback, Graham. I don't know what other thoughts that you had about this candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. That makes a lot of sense. And I actually mentioned that they indicated 2022, but it sounds like they're not really sure when they want to, you know, which class they want to, and whether that was like the graduating year or the starting year. So they have a lot of options. I feel like if they have 3 years of work experience, I absolutely agree with you. They should just apply next, you know, this coming fall and roll the dice. I mean, they have an interesting background. It's unclear whether they're Hispanic American or just straight up from South America. I mean, they mentioned they were born in South America, but it's unclear if they're, you know, whether they're a U.S. citizen or not. But either way, you know, sounds like a really interesting background. They've had a ton of finance experience and the goals make a lot of sense. As you said, GMAT score is great. GPA is, it's not off the charts, but it's certainly in the ballpark, and they studied engineering. So it's not like that was a cakewalk, and they've got the CFA. So there's a lot going for this candidate. They did mention that they've listened to all the Wiretaps episodes. So we don't recommend you put that on your, don't put that on your resume, but I think the one thing I was kind of drawn to is this notion of like, they're wondering like, should I switch companies or jobs to get ready for business school to kind of get, you know, a different experience or something. And I actually feel like, you know, I'm not a big fan of that. If they'd done like 2 years at one place and they had some great opportunity to do two more years at another, okay. But it's sort of hard to change jobs and then immediately begin applying to school. And I feel like they're in a, you know, they did like a rotational program at a large firm. Part of me feels like if they're going to apply this fall, I would stay the course, try to get as much leadership as possible, or, you know, obviously if there are promotions available to them, great, but I wouldn't necessarily like jump ship or do something like a real like lateral kind of move. I just feel like they can do, you know, they can make this move when they're done with business school. So that was my initial thinking, and just, yeah, put your head down, get, you know, do well at work, but don't necessarily make any big changes and just start focusing on applying to school, because they could literally, you know, begin working on that this spring. So,
and if they do decide to make the lateral move, that does make applying next season a little less attractive as an option, I think, for the reasons that you speak to. I mean, you start a new job, you're 1 or 2 months into a new job, and then you're trying to convince admissions committee how much you've gotten out of this new situation and, you know, and how much you've contributed. I mean, we all know when you first start a job that you're freeloading for a while till you figure stuff out, right? So you know, that if you're going to make the switch, then yes, you're going to want to wait an additional year, I think.
Agreed. So let's move on and talk about Wiretaps candidate number two. So this person is applying to Berkeley and Stanford, and they are going to start in 2020. They have been working, they kind of say they have an entrepreneurial background and that they want to get into tech. GMAT score 720, GPA 3.9, and they have 7 years of work experience. And this is a particularly interesting post because the person mentions that they've already been admitted to a couple of M7 programs and a couple of T15 programs too. And they said that, you know, as they were like an international candidate, they weren't optimistic on their acceptance chances at the GSB, but now they're kind of wondering, like, do I take a swing at it, given, you know, kind of round three pandemic economic scenario? And they're wondering if there's, you know, do they think that things might change in terms of round three acceptance patterns? So that's the main question here, is like, is it worth spending money to apply to some additional schools, you know, just as like, you know, they've got, you know, in hand this M7 offers, and they're just wondering, like, should I apply to the likes of Stanford and I'm guessing Berkeley, although that I actually wanted to ask you a question about that one. Since they want to focus on tech, they were thinking, wow, you know, Stanford and maybe even Haas would be good to have options. And I actually did have a back and forth, or well, I left them a comment in which I was like, are you, you know, if you're in at an M7 or a couple of M7s, it sounds like, do you then go and add Stanford and Berkeley? I was less clear on whether you add Berkeley in that equation, but what did you think of this candidate? Like, should they just settle on like, hey, I got into a couple of M7s, or should they actually, you know, take it into their own hands and start looking at a Stanford or a Haas in round three?
I say go for the Hail Mary and go after Stanford. I mean, the reality is, you know, if Stanford is a place that you truly want to be at or aspire to be at, and you've been successful with other M7 programs, you might always be wondering, should I have taken that shot? At least if you put that app into round three, they can disabuse you of that notion of going to Stanford by not admitting you, but at least then you can move on and know. But, you know, the upside of it is you might well get admitted. We are in such uncertain times now in terms of, you know, schools' yields and various other things with related to coronavirus. I'd be like, why not, you know, throw an application in at this late stage? For Stanford, for sure. Haas is a little bit of a different story. Not that Haas isn't an outstanding program, but if you do have offers at other M7s, then you really want to make sure that Haas really, it, you know, provides something for you directly that's better than what you've already got. And, you know, many would argue that if you admitted to other M7s that Haas, you know, Haas might not be able to do that. I'm not saying it won't. For some career goals, maybe that is the case. But I would absolutely encourage them to go after Stanford for sure.
Yeah, my main thing with this one was just that, you know, if they, I was confused by Haas only because if they knew they wanted to work in tech, I understand them saying, well, I'm not going to apply to Stanford because I don't think I have a strong enough candidacy, you know, 720 GMAT, I've been working for 7 years. Like, there are a number of reasons that they might say, oh, it's a hard application, whatever reasons they may have had, right? So I get, and I very much understand, and I'm on board with the idea of, hey, now that they've gotten all these offers, why not throw the Hail Mary round three, see if they can get into Stanford. They want to work in tech. It's a great fit. What I didn't understand is, Why wasn't Haas on their list from the get-go? I mean, it couldn't have been because they didn't think they would get in, because they did apply to a bunch of M7 schools, and, you know, Haas is arguably right there with the M7, right? So I was kind of like, if you didn't apply to them in the first place, what's adding them back to the list now? There must have been some other reasons that you didn't have them on the list the first time through. And so my view is, I was just less clear on that one. So I asked the person who posted this, and they haven't responded yet. But in any event, I do agree with you. And I think you left them a great bit of advice, which is the Stanford application is not trivial to complete. There is that what matters most to you and why essay. So they got to get through that. But overall, I say roll the dice. I mean, what do they have to lose? And as you said, they might always be left wondering, and so they might as well do it. So I would go for it. I think, you know, they're going to have, I guess they got to get it together because it's probably coming up quick, that deadline. But in any event, I would vote for putting in an app to Stanford in round three.
Yeah, and if you've already got some great offers, which clearly this candidate has at other M7 programs, then you can really go for it and feel good about going for it and maybe even take a risk or two in that first essay, knowing that you've already landed in a great spot. So, you know, enjoy the process, really be very revealing in that first essay. And see where the chips lie. But again, these are unprecedentedly uncertain times. So I would say in that context, absolutely go for it.
Well said. So let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number three. So this is our third ApplyWire entry for the week. And this person wants to start school this fall. And they have a long list of schools that includes Cambridge, Georgetown, Georgia Tech, IMD, Indiana, UT Austin, and Vanderbilt. They even listed that they listed other. So there's probably another school that, you know, we didn't have in our system that they're also looking at. They've been working in investment banking operations and nonprofit education. And that's been their career to date. They would like to get into technology or maybe consumer goods or maybe auto aerospace. Or I mean, they have a long list here of things that they might want to do. And they listed a number of companies, including Apple, Microsoft, Sony, Bose, Tesla, Delta Airlines. So they have a kind of a wide range of potential target companies. GRE score is 312, GPA 3.75. And here's the real kicker with this candidate. They have 14 years of work experience currently in Houston, and would like to end up in a city in the U.S. A couple of other tidbits: they spent the last five and a half years in South Africa, volunteering full time as a missionary to build a school for HIV/AIDS infected or affected children from poverty-stricken townships. So they've done a lot of work in kind of, you know, nonprofit and education. But prior to that, they'd worked for 8 years in J.P. Morgan's investment bank. So a real kind of mix of experience. And before anyone sort of, I know that our listeners are asking this question, this candidate doesn't really want to do a kind of executive MBA or a working professionals MBA. They really want a kind of full-time experience. And they want to apply now. They recognize, you know, they mentioned time is not their friend because it's kind of a little late. But so what's your take on this candidate and how they should proceed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this whole idea that they've got 14 years of experience, why aren't they going after an executive MBA or a part-time or whatever type of MBA that on the surface may seem more suited? But I think the obvious answer here is the person has come back from South Africa from what sounds like a terrific life experience in terms of as well as professional experience. So they're probably now going to want to use the MBA in a full-time capacity to sort of pivot into their next stage of life and career and so on and so forth. So, you know, doing the executive MBA route probably just doesn't fit this type of profile in those circumstances. So I completely understand what they're trying to do. I do think with 14 years of experience, even as interesting as that experience is, they're really going to have to show to each of the programs they apply, hopefully narrow down the list a little bit, to each of the programs that they apply, their fit and how they're really going to engage in the community and so on and so forth at the schools. Because oftentimes with an older candidate, you presume that they're going to, you know, let their younger counterparts do all the leadership stuff and various other things, and they might not get quite so involved. So they need to make sure they overcome that potential stigma for an older candidate. The 312 GRE is a little bit unfortunate. They've got a 375 GPA, so I don't think the person is not smart. And they did suggest
it's the rust.
Yeah, well, they also suggested they only prepped for a couple of weeks. So again, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this MBA, this decision to do the MBA is very recent. It's like, oh, maybe it's the MBA that can get me to the next stage of my career. So how do I go about going down that path? Oh, I've got to take this test. 2 weeks later, I come up with a 312 GRE, which is going to hurt him, I believe, or him or her in the process. They have signaled that they plan to retake the GRE, Graham, which, you know, again, with all this uncertainty with the coronavirus, that might actually become more complicated now with test centres around the world, some of which are closing, as far as I understand, right? So so whether they can actually retake the GRE or not has to be called to question, right?
Yeah, there is a, ETS has a website up where you can actually check and see whether your test center is open. And yeah, so I that is going to be, I think, increasingly going to be a problem. Now, I don't know, you know, it could be that a strategy might be that they apply ASAP, get applications together and in for the final round this year, and indicate in their application that they've they're going to be taking the test at some later date. But, you know, normally you would want to do that within like a week or two, or, you know, within the month or something, so that they get a score from you before they make any big decisions on your candidacy. And the fear that I have is that literally in a few weeks, they may not be able to take the test. Although, again, we don't really know how this is going to unfold. I will say that if you look at their target schools, you know, there are some top schools on here. There are some more regional programs. And so I think some of this also will just depend on where they want to end up. I mean, if you look at the GMAT or GRE averages at these schools, it's quite varied, right? So I think, you know, you would see a different set of averages at like UT Austin and Georgetown than you might see at Georgia Tech or, you know, or even Vanderbilt. So I think, you know, every school has their own set of criteria. But yeah, it would be good. I mean, I feel like, look, this person, as you said, 3.75 GPA, but they've been out of college for 14 years. And so they must have some rust. And they could probably, I would assume, with the right amount of preparation, get like a 320 on the GRE or more, right? And that would change the look of things pretty substantially.
Yeah, I do know, just on that note, and I'll let you carry on, Graham, looking at some of the schools' websites over the last few days, I do know, so as we've noted at the beginning of this podcast, a few schools have extended round three deadlines, but many other schools have also said that they're going to be a bit more flexible in terms of receiving test scores and even recommendations by the deadline, given the nature of what's going on out there in the environment. So, so this candidate might fall into that bucket where they could say, well, they have the test scheduled again, and they're waiting until they can actually take the test or something like that.
So, yeah, so they could say that they, you know, absolutely, they at least they've taken it once. In my view, that is a good, you know, it's not like someone saying, well, you know, I've never taken the test and I'm going to do it and, you know, can't take it right now because of the outbreak. But so I think they have a kind of plausible, you know, they have a score they can submit that allows them to actually get their app in and et cetera. And then they could indicate that they're planning to retake. I will say, when you're an older candidate, as you correctly point out, you got to show that you're going to fit into the community, and you've got to show ideally that you're academically ready. And I think that's where the test score comes in. You know, obviously GPA is great, but it's older. And sometimes the schools are a little bit looking for kind of, you know, what have you done for me lately, academic evidence. And so we'll see. But I would encourage this person to get the apps together, try to retake the test. And, you know, obviously have a wide spread of schools here. I do think if they want to end up in the States working for a US company, that, you know, on some level, I'm kind of wondering about the non-US schools on the list. You know, it just, I recognize, I mean, it would be really wonderful to go to a place like Judge or IMD. They're both great schools. I'm just trying to figure out how those fit with this candidate's kind of career plan. So that's just an aside. But in any event, really appreciate all three candidates who shared their profiles this week. And I think it was the second candidate who was wondering about that Stanford Hail Mary, who mentioned that they enjoy the podcast. And so always appreciate that feedback. We got another great review over the last week on the podcast and have just really enjoyed reading your reviews. So Alex, we'll just, I mean, as long as you're game, we'll be back in a week and do this again and help people kind of get through this kind of cramped up at home, working from home time. yeah, anything else you wanted to say this week before we let people get back to anxiously awaiting decisions or frantically writing essays and stuff?
Yeah, I just wish everyone the best of luck and to stay safe. And yeah, let's hope we can get through this crisis as it is reasonably quickly.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, stay healthy, everyone, and we will be back in 1 week's time. Thanks again, Alex.
Thanks, everyone.